Increasing clouds for this afternoon in the upper 20s with a partly cloudy sky for tonight around 12 above. Wind chills overnight will be in the single digits, then increasing clouds for tomorrow, a few snow showers in the upper 20s. Wind chills early will be between 5 and 15 above, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow night, a few snow showers early around 19 above. There's never any snowdrifts or black ice on the Long Island Sound, so instead of slipping and sliding, float your way to the island. With options to leave your car on shore, take it with you, go online to 888-44-FERRY.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Happy middle of the week to you, and welcome to Doubleheader on 1490 WGCH. I'm Rob Adams. How are you? 4:07 on this Wednesday. Gotten kind of gloomy looking outside. You know, we're supposed to be dealing with something. It went from being storm of the century from people talking late last week. And look, before you start attacking the meteorologists, keep in mind they're looking at long-range stuff. They're saying if things go... It's the old if-then statement. If X, then Y. Well, if X is the storm goes this way, we're going to get hammered. Well, it was Y. It went a different way. So we are not getting that storm. I guess the Mid-Atlantic is getting some stuff, even places that normally don't see too much snow, like Richmond, Virginia. I think even Virginia Beach is looking at 8, 9, 10 inches along the shore, which is kind of crazy. But, you know... Best everyone down there, because they're not used to that. They definitely are not used to that. It's a little weird for them. And I know people in that area, and they say to me, you know, we get so much as a dusting, and it's chaos down here. You know, the place shuts down. So anyway, best to all of them, and hope you're having a good week. This probably, barring something strange, the last live show of the week. I mean, there will be a show tomorrow and Friday. Could be a repeat of this. I don't know how Bob Small picks it out. And I'll bring Max in a moment. He's here. But I did want to mention, if you didn't know the way, you know, if you're listening on Robcasting, if you're watching on Facebook Live, I had all that going yesterday. It was a little bit of a unique setup because I was up at Connecticut School of Broadcasting getting ready to teach. And they kind of said, please do it in our studio using our equipment because that's what we want you to do. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever, you know. If you don't know, I can set the equipment up at a desk, my own equipment, boom, connect to the internet, I'm on, away we go. That all worked. And then we had a power surge, probably not the right term, but we had a power outage briefly here, a blip. And it was just enough to knock the connection off with the station. And so I had to do the rest of the show via my cell phone from the studio up there. And I couldn't reset Robcasting or any of that. So it took until a little after 5. Bob working feverishly to try to fix things. So that's where we were yesterday. That's why we're here today. We're here because Max is here. And then as soon as the show is over, I'm going to Greenwich High School for senior night. So it's busy. Girls basketball tonight, deservedly, they will celebrate, but Max, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back on.
Yep, great to have you here as well. And yes, senior night, 6:50 pregame show. I'll find out what time they're doing the ceremony, because we're going to try to run the ceremony as well. The athletes always deserve that to begin with, and if I can air it, I try to, and this is obviously a very unique team on the verge of going 19-1, but they got to go out there and finish the job tonight, and then the FCAC playoffs begin this weekend, so a lot to do. States right after that. Could be a very special end to the winter season, but we will see. Speaking of winter sports, and I guess this is where you and I will start, the Four Nations face-off has been off the charts. The first two games were, and really first three games, were pretty blistering stuff. Up through U.S.-Canada back on Saturday night. Let's start there. What have you thought of the tournament up until now?
I think, like you said, I think it's been a huge success. I mean, I wasn't really expecting this kind of physicality that we're getting. It's really like they're playing in the Olympics. It's great to see in the middle of the NHL season, and it's just great to see because the players have so much passion. And seeing the U.S. and Canada drop the gloves in the opening seconds of the game a few days ago it's pretty awesome.
You like the kind of mixing it up to begin that game?
Yeah, I did.
I do too. I do. I have no problem with it. To me, that's hockey. I'm not saying at a high school level. I'm not, you know, I'm smart about that. But in the NHL or at the international level, I don't have a problem with it. I don't.
Yeah, and there hasn't been too many injuries to speak of. I mean, there's been a couple, but not as many as I was expecting, to be honest.
No, that's been a very good thing. And hopefully our friend Jake Zimmer is the PA announcer tonight. I was going to try to get Jake on, couldn't connect with him, but... You know, because the game tonight is tomorrow night, is in Boston, and Jake is the PA announcer for the Bruins, so I would imagine he'll be there unless they're bringing in someone else, but I know he'll do a very good job if that is the case. But there were people who were complaining, I don't like the fighting, this is programmed, who cares? I mean, this is hockey. This is what they do. They'll text each other and go, they dropped the puck, we're going. Ready?
Yeah, and I think it's a treat as fans that we're getting this kind of intense hockey in the middle of the season, whereas normally we'd be getting an all-star game that's not really high tempo and high intensity, so I'm all for the physicality.
No, I mean, the all-star concept, they keep trying to change it. U.S. versus the world and all these other things that, you know, the NHL and the NBA do, and we'll go to the NBA shortly. But I think if you can do something like this, oh... I mean, people care. They're playing at an Olympic intensity. The international factor matters. Whether you like it or not, the kind of sting or the stench of politics is hanging over it. I'm not going to say it's U.S.-Russia 1980, but there's a little bit of political animosity going on. There's the booing of the anthem, whether you like it or not, as well. And it's kind of upped everybody's game to where they're like, all right, well, let's throw the gloves and away we go. And then the hockey itself has been phenomenal. This is no exhibition. These guys are serious about wanting to win, and that's great.
Yeah, I mean, all the athletes and the pros take a ton of pride in playing for their countries. And, I mean, I think if the NBA did want to try this, I don't know if it would be possible, because in the NHL, it's much more diverse in terms of talent, I think. A ton of different countries have tons of talent across the board, but I think for the NBA, it's really the U.S. and Canada and maybe Serbia, but that's really it. So I don't know if the NBA could really do what the NHL is doing right now.
No, probably not. I would say that's fair, but the hockey itself has been great. Tomorrow night, I mean, I think, what did I see in the end? They got 11 million to watch U.S.-Canada? Is that what it was in the end?
I don't know.
It was
remember.
A big number. I know that. A number that you don't normally get to see when it comes to hockey. And look, this country still has an issue when it comes to ice hockey. There are pockets of us who love it. And if you love it, you love it. There are so many others. And, you know, I can name names, people I've talked to, and they just go, I don't get it. I'm not into it. I'm not interested in it. And I say to them every time, if you don't want to watch in the regular season, I get that. Watch a playoff game. You're going to get a whole new take on it. That's what these games have been like. They've been playoff games.
Yeah, and I think playoff hockey is some of the best playoff games you'll see across sports. I mean, the atmospheres, especially with the teams in Canada, I think they're absolutely incredible, and the intensity is taken to a whole other level. So, yeah, I mean, playoff hockey is on a different level for sure.
And Boston's a great hockey town, so they will be into it. Tickets, by the way, going... I saw $8,000 for tickets tomorrow night, and more. $8,000 was the low number. Can't even imagine.
Yeah, I'm expecting an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, me too. I think I have a right now a basketball game scheduled, but I should be home in time for face-off. And I think people don't like when you use the word war for sports. It's going to be whatever metaphor you want to use. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be intense. It's going to be a great game. I do think that.
Yeah, two of the best countries in terms of talent in hockey, so I'm expecting a great game.
And the U.S. playing at a high level in men's hockey that we haven't seen in really a long time, where they've competed like this. Obviously, they went to the gold medal game, 15 years ago, which, you know, was a fantastic game won by Sidney Crosby after the U.S. came back and rallied for a last-minute goal to tie it up, go to OT, and then Sid won it in OT. But we have not seen the U.S. play like this, and this is going to be great tomorrow night, without a doubt in my mind. Canada gave them a game last week, but the U.S. finished very strong. So, advantage U.S., don't be surprised if Canada wins, though.
Yeah, I was impressed last week with the U.S. being able to beat Canada. I mean, in Montreal, that's definitely a tough atmosphere, but in Boston, I think the U.S. has the advantage, so we'll see.
Yeah, going to be great. Going to be absolutely great. Would you do away entirely with an NHL All-Star game as a result of this?
As of now, I would, but if year after year the injuries start to build up, I think I would kind of get away from it, but for now, I think it's great.
Yeah, I guess it does beg the question, is this something you do every 2 to 4 years or something, you know, periodically, where the All-Star game... See, the All-Star game, at the NHL, it's become more of a skills competition first. And then there's a game, a contest, you know, it's these little mini games or whatever they do, whatever format they come up with. So the bar has moved, you know. Baseball still does it the best when it comes to All-Stars because it's the closest to the real sport. The NBA, I mean, that's a farce. That was not a good weekend for the NBA. I don't think it was. Do you?
Oh, I thought it was awful. I mean, I thought there was way too many stoppages. I did think it was a little more competitive, but I mean, even if it was a little more competitive, I don't think any of the fans want to see rookies and second-year guys going against a bunch of Olympians.
Right.
I just thought it was terrible.
And slam dunk contest. Any reaction?
I mean, I think Mac McClung is terrific, but I mean, outside of that, I think Stephon Castle was pretty good too, but outside of those two, I don't think it was great.
And should we be drawing a player from the G League to come up and win this thing? Does that bother you, impact you? Do you have an opinion?
I mean, I think he's kind of like saving the dunk contest.
Yeah.
He's been the best by far in the 3 years he's done it. So, I mean, if he wasn't this good, I would kind of be against it. But since he's winning and he's this great, then I'm not really against it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you because this is the only thing keeping the slam dunk competition going in reality.
Yeah, if you're not going to have stars or guys that are on a high level participate in the dunk contest, I don't really have too much interest in it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll do more with that. We'll bounce some other stuff around. Phones are open. We're in the studio, 203-661-5051. We continue middle of the week over the hump, 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. Doubleheader, we'll be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Partial sunshine for this afternoon with increasing cloudiness towards evening. We're in the upper 20s, then partly cloudy for tonight around 12 above. Wind chills overnight will be in the single digits, then increasing clouds for tomorrow. A few snow showers in the upper 20s. Wind chills early will be between 5 and 15 above, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow night. A few snow showers early around 19 above. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
All right, I listened to a little more closely to the forecast, and it got me wondering, when are we going to see some warmer temperatures? If you buy into this longer-range AccuWeather forecast, 43 by Sunday, 46 by when? 46 by Tuesday. Then it's going to drop back down a bit. 52 on April 6th. And then, hold on. No, March 6th, sorry. 52 on March 6th, sorry. And finally, you want to really keep your fingers crossed? April 4th, 60 degrees. So we got a ways to go. So it goes. But we have yet to see that monster storm. We've had these little, you know, little stinky storms, and that's been about it. You a winter guy? Do you like that weather?
Not really. I like the snow, but the cold, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm kind of done, with the cold, but it's going to be pretty cold again. So again, as we always say, keep an eye on one another because that stuff can be very dangerous, and there are folks out in it at night. You want to keep an eye on all of them. All right, we continue on. Another big knock for me on the NBA All-Star game. You can't have a game where people have spent, you know, a lot of money to go to an event. And look, we know injuries happen. We know life happens. LeBron bows out an hour before. That's a bad look.
Yeah, I think that's a statement being made by him that he's unwilling to play in this game. I mean, I get where he's coming from. I wouldn't be trying to do anything extra to play in this game that's in a terrible state right now. So I mean, I kind of see where he's coming from.
I think you gotta, if you're bowing out, you gotta bow out a lot earlier than that. People are in the arena. You know, there are kids sitting there. They might have never seen LeBron play, and now he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm injured. I'm gonna sit this one out. I don't know. I don't think it looks good for the NBA. And one thing the NBA does have, I think almost all the other sports, is Adam Silver. He's a good commissioner.
I mean, he's questionable. I mean, I think the play-in tournament has been a huge success, but other than that, I mean, the in-season tournament is 50-50 for me, and then the All-Star game's been a disaster. But going back to your LeBron point, I think not only is it unfair to the fans that come to watch him, but there's a lot of other guys in the Western Conference that are very deserving of making the All-Star game. And just one off the top of my head is Norman Powell from the Clippers. I think he's averaging 24 points a game, and I mean, it would have been his first All-Star game of his career, and I think he was very deserving, and I think it was just selfish of LeBron to kind of take that from him for his own glory.
And I think that's one of the things that hangs over LeBron is, to the LeBron critic, he's seen as selfish on occasion. And look, athletes, to an extent, we all know they have egos. You know there has to be a certain level of selfishness, understood, but it kind of dogs him a bit.
Yeah, and there's no reason to do that. He still is an all-star if he's, bowing out early. So I don't really see where he has to do that.
Yeah, I don't either. And remember, folks, and I know you guys know this, Greenwich is a town where he made that decision all those years ago to go down to Miami in the first place. So we saw the circus in person. Remember, it aired on WGCH that night. One of the most bizarre nights I ever spent in this business was that night standing outside the Boys and Girls Club with what was a zoo of an atmosphere. It was bizarre.
Yeah, and I'm sure he knew far before the All-Star game that he was never playing in that, so I think it was just foolish of him to not say anything.
Yeah, I agree. Bad look. But so what does the NBA do? What do they do to fix this?
I mean, I don't really have an answer. I mean, if someone did have an answer, I think they would be doing it because it's in such a terrible state. I feel like the only way they can go is up from here, but I think East versus West is the best way to go, and the target score is also terrible because, I mean, you have guys that work so hard in the regular season to become an all-star starter, which is a pretty big achievement, to only play 5 to 10 minutes of actual basketball. I think that's unfair to them. So I think they need to put the games back to 48 minutes, but find a way to make it competitive somehow. I think it was more competitive than it's been in a while this past weekend, but I mean, they have to find a way to do that in a much better format.
So what's the knock on playing the, you know, old format, if you will, of East versus West, of, you know it's going to be limited defense or no defense for that matter, and the score is going to be 185-83. What's the harm in that? What's the criticism in your mind?
I just don't think, like, fans don't want to see an uncompetitive game. I think part of seeing the best players in the world go up against each other, you want to see a competitive game and see, you know, how they would really match up, and we haven't really seen that in the past. And I think a bunch of the older guys did try harder. I think Kyrie Irving definitely tried a little harder. I think Victor Wembanyama came in and he tried pretty hard. So I think part of that was the rising stars coming in, because they don't want to lose to a bunch of rookies and second years guys. But I think the NBA has to find a way for them to do that in a better format, like I said.
Does the NBA have a personality issue? Like, are the names big enough, and, you know, do they have the swagger to you know, really pull in the fans? And I'm thinking back to Jordan playing in All-Star games, and Magic and Bird and, you know, Patrick and Akeem, and you know, I'm thinking the 80s, 90s NBA, Barkley and so on. Is that a problem? Is it a personality thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you still have one of the greatest players of all time. You still have Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Yep. You still have a lot of legends that are still playing. So I don't think that's an issue. But I think, I mean, maybe in terms of who gets a spot in the All-Star game, because, I mean, or in the starting lineup, I should say, because I don't think Curry, I mean, if you look at his stats, this is one of the worst seasons of his career. I don't think, I mean, obviously he's going to be a starter because it's Steph Curry, but he didn't have the stats of a starting caliber player, and I think it could have gone to someone else. So I think it definitely is a huge popularity contest in terms of who gets in, but other than that, I think they still have the popularity for the All-Star game to be popular.
So there's enough intrigue to keep it and keep it going, and but you got to rethink the format. You can't have Draymond, for instance, just going off about it on TV.
I don't know how the NBA is okay with one of their own players that has a voice, whether you like it or not, he has a voice. I don't know how they're okay with him going on national TV and just completely bashing it. I mean, I think that's just awful for the game, and I think it's in a terrible state and all.
Is the NBA overall in a terrible state, or just the All-Star in your mind?
No, I was just referencing the All-Star game, but I mean, I think the NBA, the no defense, narrative in the regular season, I think that's been going on for a while now, and fans have kind of just lived with it, I guess.
Does the sport live and die by the three too much in your
mind?
I
mean, I wouldn't say that, because I think shooting a bunch of threes is, like, helps your team. I mean, look at the Celtics. They're shooting the most threes the team has ever shot, and they just won the championship this past year, and they're in contention for another one. So I think if you do shoot a lot of threes, it will help you win, but I think from a fan's perspective, I do think it gets boring just seeing a bunch of threes get chucked up all game.
If you can hit them, though, boy, that's a skill.
Yeah.
That is a thing of beauty to watch. When you can hit shots, when you can do what Steph could do, when you can do what Caitlin Clark can do, I don't want to leave her out either. That's a skill. I mean, a logo three is pretty mind-blowing. Every time I watch Caitlin Clark hit one, I'm like, I could never do that.
Yeah, and a bunch of guys in the league can do that. You just don't see it too much other than, Curry or Damian Lillard or someone else like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it is a huge skill, like you said.
As we head into the second half, and right now, sports, as I said, I taught last night at CSB, and one of the things I always have the students do is write a sports report. The pickings were really slim. No NHL, no NBA right now. So we're kind of in a dry spot, but we've got more to do when we come back. We'll take a break, 4:30. We continue right after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Fox.
from the WGCH Weather Center.
Increasing clouds for this afternoon in the upper 20s with a partly cloudy sky for tonight around 12 above. Wind chills overnight will be in the single digits, then increasing clouds for tomorrow, a few snow showers in the upper 20s. Wind chills early will be between 5 and 15 above, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow night, a few snow showers early around 19 above. There's never any snow drifts or black ice on the Long Island Sound, so instead of slipping and sliding, float your way to the island. With options to leave your car on shore, take it with you, go online to 888-44-FERRY.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
I'm going to let you in on a little wireless hack that can cut your cell phone bill in half. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile have convinced you you need unlimited data. Fact is, most people don't. Pure Talk only charges $25 a month for unlimited talk, text, and 5 gigs of data plus hotspot. Stop overpaying for wireless. Dial pound 250 and say spend less, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money, but if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month and they love it. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Call now. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
This is Dora Salma of Greenwich Library. Join us on Tuesday, February 25th from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Learning Lab for an engaging workshop on climate change. David Emberling, a climate change specialist with Climate Interactive, will guide participants through the En-ROAD simulator, a powerful tool for exploring the impact of global climate policies. You'll get hands-on experience learning how actions like carbon pricing, electrifying transport, and improving agriculture can affect energy prices, air quality, and even sea levels. Register now at www.greenwichlibrary.org or call the reference desk at area code 203-622-7910 for more details. We hope to see you there. This is Dora Somm on 1490 AM WGCH or WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome back to Doubleheader, 433-203-661-5051 if you want to jump in on the conversation. St. John's and DePaul coming up tonight. The Johnnies at number 10 at 22-4 on the year. What will make their season legit? Do they have to win the Big East? Do they have to go, you know, they need to get to the Elite Eight? Or are they already legit in your mind?
I think they're a legit contender. But, I mean, in order to have a successful season, I think the Elite Eight at a minimum. And I think they can do that. I think they have the pieces to do that.
Yeah, so do I. It's been great to watch. And the atmosphere at the Garden has been off the charts. And that's New York basketball. When St. John's is in like that, boy, it's fantastic. UConn, on the other hand, I can't figure them out. A mind-blowing loss to Seton Hall last week that was just like, you know, like the biggest brain cloud you could possibly have. It's like calling a timeout when you don't have one. That's how bad the end of that game was for UConn. But they played last night, looked like they were a little bit better again.
Yeah, they've been inconsistent, to say the least. I mean, they were down big to Villanova, I think, with like 10 minutes left, and then they went on a huge run at the end of the game, but I mean, yeah, it's definitely scary because they're nowhere near as consistent as they were the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Danny Hurley can walk around flashing the two rings fingers all he wants, but that's going to come back and bite him because right now they're not winning a third straight.
No, not even close. They're still fighting for a tournament spot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they're not.
They've got the pedigree for the committee to put them in as an at large, but. Don't be surprised if they're not in it, and that would be pretty wild.
Yeah, they still have work to do, and I mean, maybe they'll catch some March Magic with the championship pedigree, but Yeah, they still have some work to do to get in.
But St. John's, I'm loving that. It just brings back such happy memories of the old real Big East days, and just love watching what they're doing right now. And again, people hate Rick Pitino. I get it. Boy, the guy can coach, though.
Yeah, he's a great coach, and they're just a classic New York kind of grind you out team. They're not great offensively, but they're a terrific defensive team, and they'll win these scrappy games that like typical New York teams do. So that's it's been fun to watch.
Top 10 right now are Auburn, Florida, the Dukies, Bama, Houston, Tennessee number 6, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and St. John's. Auburn, in your mind, the best in the country?
Yeah, I don't think it's really even close. They have the most quad one wins by far. They just beat Alabama on the road last week, which is an incredible win. So
last Sunday.
I think they're the best team by far right now.
They win a national championship, that would not surprise you.
No, I think they're the far and away favorite as of now.
Yeah. Who's a sleeper in your mind?
I would have to look at the rankings, but just off the top of my head, I know they're a high seed, but I don't think Wisconsin is being talked about enough. I think they're the 11th seed right now, but I think they're a real Final Four contender. I mean, they just beat Illinois last night. They do have one of the best offenses in all of college basketball, and I mean, they brought in some new transfers, and they've been really good.
Yeah. I like that answer. See, this is watching the development of a sports talk personality. I like this. 203-661-5051, 437 here on Doubleheader. NBA, we were talking about it off the air. Cavs and the Thunder, both 44-10. After that, you got the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, who are 5.5 games back. And as I said to you, I feel like the best team in the East right now is Boston. I want to believe in the Knicks, and look, they're a great team, 36-18, 8 out in the conference, but you know, I don't worry about that. 9-2 in the division, and what are they? They've won 2 in a row coming off the All-Star break. I want to believe in the Knicks. I want to say, "Oh, Eastern Conference Final, here they come." And yet I don't believe in the Cavs. That's the other thing. I believe in Boston. Who's that other team?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as of now, it looks like the Knicks are going to match up with Boston in the second round, which would suck to see. But I'm not going to truly evaluate the Knicks till I see them fully healthy with Mitchell Robinson and OG Anunoby. So,
right.
I mean, they still haven't really beat any of the great teams. But I'm still until they have both of those two back fully healthy, I'm not going to make any true evaluations yet.
And I'm willing to buy in on the Thunder, but is it the Grizzlies, the Nuggets, the Rockets, Lakers, Clippers? Who's that other team in the Western Conference?
I think it's easily the Nuggets. I think the championship pedigree, I think Jamal Murray's finally playing like he used to a couple years ago. I think obviously they have Jokic playing at a super high level. I think they're a very dangerous team.
And I read a piece on The Athletic last weekend kind of defending the Dallas GM that traded Luka. I'm still struggling to process that one. How you do that? He's so young. He's so good. How?
Yeah, and the reason he traded him, he said, was because he said he wasn't a kind of supermax kind of player because they were worried about his lack of effort on defense and the way he takes care of his body, but he's only 25, and I think he had a lot of time to fix that if they, you know, try to work with him a little bit there. So I think on the Lakers side, it was a big steal, not only for the present tense, but I think for the future. They have their guy for the next 10 years to build around.
And Mark Cuban's not the primary owner anymore, so he doesn't get the final say on that, but he's been noticeably quiet on the topic as well. He does still play a role, but he does not have the big say when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks anymore. 4:39 on Doubleheader. And one last thing from college basketball. These are not scores you normally hear. BYU 91, Kansas 57. Wow. A 34-point loss for Bill Self and Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas has been they've had a really rough stretch, and they started the year the number one team in the country. That's what they That's what the preseason rankings had them as. So, I mean, now they're going to probably be unranked after this next cycle. So, I mean, these past 2 years for Kansas, they've been a disaster. They're now they now have some work to do to just have berth at the NCAA tournament. So, it's been bad.
Yeah, it's very and it's amazing. We're back end of February right now. We're going to be into the conference tournaments before you know it. And I was saying to you off the air, and the NBA, we're going to be to the playoffs before you know it. It's just, you know, you hate to sound like it's flying by, but it's closer than you think is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. I think, March Madness it's right around the corner. So, I'm super excited for that, for sure.
Yeah, you're basically a month away right now from the first game, which, again, I say this all the time, March Madness, Thursday especially, is one of the best days in sports, if not the best day all year.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that.
Especially when, remember, there was a time when all the games weren't available. You didn't have True TV and all these other things. So you were reaching for an app, or you were, you know, just watching the one game on CBS, and you were just looking at the scoreboard, waiting for that second game to come up and hoping they'd switch to another game. Either way, it's that full slate of activity. I love that day.
Yeah, you got, it starts at, 12 in the afternoon?
Yeah, like 12:15 first tip.
Yeah, and then, the last game is at 9, 10 o'clock at night. So, it's really a full day of action.
That's why when baseball does a playoff day and it's like 3-4 games, I'm so happy. It's just full day of all of it.
Yeah, I love those beginning stages, the wild card. I like those too, so... Yeah, the full days of action is what I like the best, for sure.
And not too far behind will be the NHL playoffs. Once the Four Nations is over, the teams return, and the Washington Capitals in the Eastern Conference with 80 points. Plus, you've got Ovechkin zeroing in on the all-time scoring record, topping Gretzky, which I can't even begin to imagine that someone's going to pass Gretzky for most goals. I until I heard someone say that, I don't know, several months ago, I thought, how's that possible? No one was ever going to touch Gretzky, and here comes Ovechkin.
Yeah, he's been doing it at such a high level for so long now, and he's right there. It's super impressive.
I know the GOAT arguments are kind of bottom of the sports talk food chain. I'd have a hard time putting Ovechkin as a better player over Gretzky, to be fair, and I think Ovechkin's no question an all-time great, but I can't put him higher than Gretzky in terms of overall as a player.
I've never seen Wayne Gretzky play, from the clips I have seen and from what I've heard, I think Gretzky's still the GOAT.
Gretzky early '80s, insane, just insane. He could score at will. He was solid at both ends of the ice. He could do everything. He really could. And Ovechkin can as well. Ovechkin's a great player. An incredible player. So I'm not knocking Ovechkin in the process. I don't mean to. But Washington at 80 points. Florida at 71. Carolina 70. The Devils hanging in there at 68 in the 5 slot in the Eastern Conference. But you got to go all the way down to 10 to find Boston. 11 to find the Rangers at 58 points. And the Islanders at 57 points. The Islanders and Rangers especially have some work to do over these next couple of months to become a playoff team. Can they do it is the question.
I think they've just got to dig themselves out of this huge hole they built themselves early in the year with that terrible stretch they had. But I think they have the talent on the roster to do it. So, I wouldn't be too surprised if they're able to sneak in. But, even if they did get in, I don't see them getting too far. They've had this same core for a long time now and haven't really had too much success with it other than reaching the Eastern Conference Finals. So, even if they do get in, I'm not going to be too excited.
It felt like this was a year for them to take that next step, but it's not there. They've been completely dysfunctional this year, which is bad.
Yeah, I thought they would build off, having second year of Peter Laviolette, I thought they were going to be able to build off that Eastern Conference berth well, but just been the complete opposite now.
The Devils, every time they win, they almost do it without star power. Sure, they had Brodeur back in the day. Sure, they had a Scott Stevens, guys like that. Brodeur was really your big name. But this Devil team right now, kind of nameless in terms of, NHL attention. You don't hear a lot about them, but they do keep winning. 68 points, that's good enough to be, like I said, right now, fifth in the East.
I mean, yeah, they have Jack Hughes, who's a great player.
Very good player. Excellent.
Other than that, yeah, like you said, there's not too much star power there.
And the best team in the NHL right now is Winnipeg. They have 81 points on the other side in the Western Conference. Dallas at 72, Edmonton at 72, Vegas at 72, plus Minnesota at 70 points. The West is absolutely loaded, 1 through 4, I guess, as we're kind of looking, not mid-season, but off the break. It's kind of where does this wind up? Who are the two big teams coming out in your mind to reach a Stanley Cup final?
I mean, right now it would be hard not to say Winnipeg with the season they've had, and then I think you're always going to have Edmonton in the mix, obviously with McDavid and Drysdale and a lot of other good players there, and then also Colorado. I think they're going to be in the mix as well. They've got two of the best players in the NHL, so I think they're going to be in the mix as well always. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's still a long way to go. Teams at 57, 55 games, so you still have plenty of games left in the season, some jockeying to go around, but Rangers have got to play better, bottom line. They just have to play better. Shift over to baseball for a moment, and a little bit of noise being made, some of the early interviews coming out of the camps. Media is going to try to bait Aaron Judge to say something about Juan Soto. And Judge is like, all right, well, I think we're fine, meaning the Yankees. Soto thinks this is the best place for him with the Mets. Okay, fine. To me, that's a nothing burger of a story. It's not that big of a deal. But the Red Sox having now Alex Bregman, who was and has been a third baseman, but they have a third baseman who says, I'm a third baseman, I'm not leaving. What do you think?
I mean, I think if Bregman is able to play second, I think they would be better off defensively having Bregman at third and Devers DH, but I mean, you don't want to upset your franchise star like that, so I think they're in a pretty bad predicament there.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a shaky situation there, but look, there is a precedent where there are players that weren't going to get moved. When A-Rod came to the Bronx, Jeter was still staying at shortstop, and that worked out pretty well for the most part. They didn't win as many rings as they probably should have, but they still won. They still got a ring in 09, and I don't think A-Rod's legacy was hurt by moving to third base, and I don't think Jeter's legacy was hurt, by him staying where he was. So I don't know that it's a big deal when all is said and done. Admittedly, we make more of things than we should. Like Marcus Stroman not showing up for the first couple of days, he was entitled to not show up for the first couple of days. And oh, by the way, he's getting the ball for the Yankee spring training start in the first game, I think on Friday.
It's been an interesting story for him for sure. And I think, just going back to what you said about the Red Sox, I think if they're not at too much of a disadvantage defensively, I don't know specifically how good or bad Devers is defensively. I would have to look at the numbers, but I think if they are able to, I think they should play Bregman at second and Devers at third, because you don't want to upset anyone, and still having Bregman play on that infield is definitely a big plus, and you don't want to give that much money to a guy that won't play defense. So I think if they could find a way, I think having both of them play in the infield would be ideal.
And you're trying to get the Red Sox on the upswing, and they're a better team than they were, no doubt about it. I think they've taken a huge step. You got to obviously prove it on the field, but I think at worst they're the third team in the American League East right now, and I think they can be as good as second. I don't know if they can top the Yankees this year. I'll say that.
No, I think the Yankees are definitely still the favorite in the LA's, but I think the Red Sox are favorite to be the second place team right now. They added Garrett Kershaw. I think with the offseason additions they've made, I think it would be a disappointment for them if they didn't finish second.
With the Orioles having one of the all-time terrible off seasons, I can't figure out what they were thinking down there. They did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if they're cheap now, and I don't know what they're going to do when they have to pay all their young stars with Rutschman and Henderson and Holiday eventually. So, it'll be, I don't know what they're going to do when they have to pay all those guys, so it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
Across town with the Metsies, Steve Cohen made a little news yesterday where he said, hey, I've spent the money. I had a budget in mind. I sailed right past it. I want a team that's going to win. I think he's done all of that, obviously. Still pitching concerns in my mind, but he got Alonso back, he got Soto, he did a lot of good things. But he did call out the fan base a little bit, and I'm okay with it. But I'm also sensitive to the fact that as an owner, he has to recognize that Citi Field is not the friendliest place to get to from our area, for instance. Taking a train there from here, I would imagine, is not easy at all. You're a Met fan. Do you ever take a train from here?
Nah, we always drive.
Yeah, so you always have to drive. Parking is expensive, and then obviously a stadium experience. Tickets are not that expensive. Folks freak out about ticket prices. If you do your homework, you can get tickets at a reasonable price. That being said, if you want the experience of, you know, food, maybe a souvenir, you know, I don't know what your deal is when you go to a game, but as a kid, the kid wants a souvenir. He wants food. He wants the whole thing. Now it gets pricey.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen's got to be mindful of that, though.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think he's done everything he can as an owner, and to be only 18th in attendance last year in the middle of a pennant race, like he talked about, I think that's a fair point. Pretty unacceptable. I mean, you have teams that weren't in it last year that were above the Mets, and I think, like you said, I don't think it's fair to him to be spending that much money, and I also think it's kind of a threat. I mean, if he doesn't get the kind of attendance draw that he wants, I don't know if it'll happen, but he's probably threatening that he's not gonna, you know, spend as much money as he is because he wants the fans to recognize what he's doing. So I mean, I think. Yeah, I think this year definitely the Mets fans have got to step it up in terms of attendance.
And for the Met fan, remember, you were not a playoff team until the last day of the season. That's when you became a playoff team. There's a mid-September series, I think it was against the Marlins. The place was kind of empty. That's bad. That's not a home team atmosphere.
Yeah, and I mean, aside after the rough start in the beginning of the season, everything towards... I mean, around the middle of the season to the end, I think they were in the playoff race, and they were in, you know, a race for the pennant. So I think, I mean, yeah, obviously I think the attendance definitely should have been higher. But, I mean, even for the team now, I don't think they're going to get a great draw playing the Marlins on a Tuesday or Wednesday night or whatever.
No.
I think that's just, you know, what it is and what baseball is at this point. So I think you can't really look at that game too much.
But that is what Cohen highlighted. That was one series that he mentioned for sure. And I think in a pennant race, you got to turn out at that point in the season. But we'll take our last break. We're getting ready to wrap this up. Girls basketball coming up. 6:50 right now for pregame. But, you know, just keep your radio on. Keep your device nearby. We'll have coverage as soon as we can get it started. If we can go even earlier, we will. So check your local listings. We're back after this. At 4:53 on doubleheader, 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Partial sunshine for this afternoon with increasing cloudiness towards evening. We're in the upper 20s, then partly cloudy for tonight around 12 above. Wind chills overnight will be in the single digits, then increasing clouds for tomorrow. A few snow showers in the upper 20s. Wind chills early will be between 5 and 15 above, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow night. A few snow showers early around 19 above. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. That's why you need RedBalloon.work. RedBalloon has recruiters and hiring tools to help you hire adults. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation.
Back to put a ribbon on this one at 4:55. By the way, we talk about Greenwich all the time. We talk about Brunswick all the time on this show. Obviously, those are the two schools that I cover the most and we cover here on WGCH. But there is also Greenwich Academy, Convent of the Sacred Heart, and Greenwich Country Day, who Brunswick is playing in basketball. I think they might have just tipped off. I'm not sure what time they were playing. As it's a road game, I don't necessarily go cover that one. Every now and then I'll nag them enough where they're like, okay, fine, go cover it, leave us alone. But I'm not at that one, so I'm going over to the high school. But that is a game worth watching because Brunswick's trying to secure themselves a playoff spot in the FAA. And they're playing the top dog and the defending champion in Greenwich Country Day. So, good matchup there. And that's a good rivalry between those two schools, no question. MLB is going to test the automated ball strike challenge system in spring training. Do you like this?
Oh, I definitely do like this. I think there's too many games that get determined by missed calls. I think if they could implement this system in the regular season, I think that would be a huge plus.
I don't know that it happens this year, Like I said, they're going to test it in spring training. Does it take away the human element, though? I mean, are we phasing out umpires? What are we doing? There's my concern.
I don't think they're really completely taking out the human element until they just go with robot umpires. But I mean, I think having a challenge system is all you really need because most umpires are very good. So, I mean, I think having a couple of challenges a game, I think that wouldn't do too much harm.
Let me ask it this way. For the uneducated or for the folks who just don't know about this stuff, is this the equivalent of the line system in tennis, the line appeal? Is it kind of along those lines for folks who don't know any better, in your opinion?
I mean, I think a little bit, but I think the out-of-bouncing in tennis, I think that's much more important because I just think that's much more bigger. But, I mean, I think...
Individual points get determined off of that. Yeah, you're right.
So I think that's, like you said, much more important. But I do think they're kind of similar in terms of, you know, what they mean to the game. So.
Yeah, generally in the basic idea of it. But you wouldn't get to challenge every pitch. That's another thing to keep in mind. You only get there's a certain number of challenges you get. I think you get two, and you keep them so long as you're correct, but you lose them if the umpire is right.
Yeah, I think two is enough. I don't think you don't want to have too many to slow down the game that much, and you don't want to have zero, obviously, if you're going to implement this new rule. So I think two would be a perfect number.
Has the pitch clock, has anything to shorten the game time? Have you liked those initiatives?
Yeah, I do like the pitch clock. I think it significantly helps because, I mean, having, you know, 3.5 hour, 4 hour games sometimes, I think that's just terrible for the game. So I think, you know, having 2 hour, 2.5 hour games, I think that's much better.
What do you think of, like, would you eliminate the 3-batter rule for pitchers? I don't love that one. That's the one I think I could do without.
Yeah, I don't think that's really a necessary rule. I think teams should be able to use pitchers more frequently based on matchups and stuff like that, so I don't think that's really a huge rule.
And extra innings, you like the ghost runner?
I'm kind of 50-50 on the ghost runner. I think the home team has too much of an advantage on that, so I think, I mean, maybe they could start implementing the ghost runner, and if they had it normal for the first couple of innings of extra innings, and then maybe at the 12th or 13th inning,
yeah,
maybe you could have it. But I mean, I'm kind of half and half on having it in the 10th inning.
I get it in the minor leagues because you're trying to save pitchers' arms, and those are those. Believe me, I was a play-by-play announcer there. Those can be long nights. So, yes, when we're up there working, the idea of putting a ghost runner on there and getting the game over with, okay, there's an appeal to that, so I get it. But I would rather see it 12th or 13th inning. I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything coming up for you this week?
Not much. I mean, we're on break right now for school, so I'm just hanging around for the most part.
I love it. All right, good. Enjoy your break.
Thank you.
I'm going to head over to Greenwich High School right after I'm finished here. I will talk to you in a little bit. Greenwich and Brian McMahon, girls basketball coming up here on WGCH. Still games to determine for Saturday after this because of playoffs and everything else. We'll talk to you about that. Thanks for listening to Doubleheader. For Max, I'm Rob. Have a good night, and adios. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
Relations between the United States.